Shabbos Parshas Miketz, Shabbos Chanukah. The year was 1985, December of 85, Sashem and Vav. And the Maimer opens with the words, Ner Chanukah mitzvah lahanicha al Pesach beisei mibachutz. The flames of Chanukah, the lamp of Chanukah, it's a mitzvah to place it at the doorway, towards the outdoors, towards the outside. V'heichan ma'anachla, and where should it be placed? And the Gemara has a discussion. Umasik, the Gemara comes to the conclusion, Mismoil. It should be placed on the left. Why is this? You'll have the mezuzah on the right side, the menorah, the lamp of Chanukah on the left side, and that way we're surrounded by mitzvahs. That's how the Gemara finishes off. That's the Gemara's conclusion. So there's a maimer from the Rebbe Rashab from the year 1895, which is 90 years earlier, before the Rebbe sang this maimer. And of course, this that's already 35 years ago. The Yesh Lahavin that we have to understand, Lama Neir Chanukah Mismail Davke. Why is it that the Chanukah menorah ends up on the left side? The Yesh Lahesef. And the Rebbe now adds a nuance to the question. Why would that be an issue even? Why we ask the question? Why is Neir Chanukah on the left? So it's on the left. Why should it be on the right? No, it should be on the right. Because the Harei Ner Chanukah, who mitzvah kechol ha-mitzvahs. Ner Chanukah is a mitzvah. Okay, so if it's a mitzvah, there's a certain mitzvah etiquette. And the mitzvah etiquette is, Shekulon shayoches lebchinas yamin. As a rule, mitzvahs have the right of way. They're always on the right. That's the rule. Ki yadua, as it's known. Shekol haguf nichlol b'yamin. That the whole body, so to speak, leans right. In other words, Hashem made us off kilter. Every one of us is made with a stronger side. If you're a lefty, you're just in your right mind. It just goes the other way around. But the point is, left and right, most people are right, so that's why we say it's right. The point is that the right represents chesed, and the left represents gevura, a stronger side, a weaker side. And Hashem wants us to lean in a certain direction, towards a more kind and benevolent way. And for most people, that's right, so we call it yamin. So that's how mitzvahs go, and that's how people should gravitate. And this is the reason that the mezuzah is on the right side. On the right side of going in. You're going in, you're on your right side. Why? We lean right. Especially in light of what the Mittler Rebbe writes in his commentary in the Siddur, that mezuzah represents far more than its individual component of a mitzvah, but rather it's comprehensive. Mezuzah represents Yiddishkeit in general, our attitude, the way we look at life, and the way we're able to move through our daily experiences. The chol mitzvahs, all of the mitzvahs in yonah b'chinas yamin v'chesed v'oyer. As a rule, all mitzvahs can be summed up in a single word: they're righteous, which comes from the word right, and they represent benevolence and kindness and light. Do you know that? There's an English word, sinister. It's not a good thing. A sinister. If they say, you look sinister, it's usually not a compliment. So where does the word sinister come from? In Latin, sinistre means left. And how did the word sinister end up getting associated with the left? And the answer is very simple. In a world where people had to defend themselves, where they lived by the sword, an attack on the right was easily defensible because most people were right-handed. So if you're right-handed, you wore your sword on your left side. And therefore, if you had an attack, you can easily reach for your sword and you'd be able to defend yourself. But if the attack came from the left, you'd have to first draw your sword and then reorient yourself. And those extra moments could prove to be fatal. So an attack on the left side was considered to be sinister or dark. So mitzvahs are bright. Mitzvahs represent light, not darkness. Mitzvahs represent benevolence and kindness, not stringency. And mitzvahs, therefore, are metaphorized and really, in a sense, typified with what we call the right side. That's the right way, is the mitzvah way. K'mesha kasuv, like it says in the book of Mishlei, ki ner mitzvah v'toyra er. Ner mitzvah means that a mitzvah is metaphorized as a lamp, and the Torah, well, the Torah is light. V'lochein, therefore, Shayachim lebechinas yamin. It makes sense that mitzvahs are naturally related to the right, which of course underscores our question. Vim kein my taima ner Chanukah mismael. So then, why in heaven would the Chanukah menorah be living on the left? Uma gam shalafi pirush echod koi hapasuk al mitzvahs ner Chanukah dafke. According to at least one opinion, and this is found in the Gemara in Maseches Shabbos, on page 23, where it discusses ner Chanukah, according to even one opinion, that pasuk in Mishlei ner mitzvah v'terah or ultimately alludes to the concept of the menorah. Well, in that case, if the ner Chanukah represents ner mitzvah, and mitzvah leans right and represents the idea of right, light, right, benevolence, yamin, what's the ner Chanukah doing on the left side? Like, the answer that the right side was already taken by the mezuzah is a little weak. So the mezuzah leaves room for a menorah. It's really not such a big deal. The Rebbe adds something very interesting here, which none of the Maimonides of Chassidus was ever mentioned. And the Rebbe said it's like almost a Maimer HaMuzgah. It's just like he's like commenting almost. It's not the thrust of the thesis he's seeking to develop, but just like interesting to note that this business of when there is no mezuzah, then the Ner Chanukah ends up on the right side, is davar shayna mikolin yani halacha b'shabbat Torah. It's different from all the other halachas in Torah. Ki b'chlal harei ha-Torah al harev tadaber. The Torah usually follows in its verbiage, when it approaches things, it will follow the majority. So if the Torah said, why did the Torah say X, Y, and Z? And the answer would be because such and such. So but what about in a situation where such and such is not the case? No, ha-Torah al harev tadaber. So the Torah spoke about most common reality, what's most likely. And since the Torah follows as most likely, and since the likelihood would follow in a certain direction, that's the way the halacha would go. But here, interestingly, it's not that case. So typically, if a Jew is going to be lighting a menorah, usually he has a mezuzah. I mean, like, think of me a strange kind of Jew. No mezuzahs, but we light menorahs. Mezuzah is biblical. It's a whole year. Menorah is rabbinic. It's once. If you have a mezuzah, you have a menorah. When would you not have a mezuzah? Maybe if you're staying in a hotel somewhere. It's an exception, not the rule. In other words, kishayesh mitzvah shataim ashayach rak b'reiv hamikrim. When there's a mitzvah whose rhyme and reason applies most often, not always, but most often. Hini afal pikein, eisa mitzvah zu gam b'makam amiyot. Then the mitzvah would be performed in that fashion, even when it's the exception. Why? Because the Torah follows majority, whatever usually happens. So afsha b'miyot eni shayach tama mitzvah, even though in that slender minority of situations, this reason might not apply. We say, nonetheless, whatever it is, the thesis and theory that holds that keeps us comporting in a certain way, that kind of follows us or directs us in a certain dimension. So whatever it is, that would still be at force, even though the reason is not at play. So why would that compel us to go in that direction? Why would we do it in this way? What would the answer be? Because that's usually the way it is. So the Torah is going to follow the majority of situations. You can't make interruptions for every individual situation. So in that case, the question would be asked here, why wouldn't the Ner Chanukah just remain on the left side? I'll give you an example, something we learned about this week. I was just thinking of an example. So we talked about Yosef. Remember we talked about the class we called King Cut? Yosef came out of the pit and he got a haircut. Right? And one of the things that Rebbe pointed out, that Yosef probably was able to get haircuts himself. Even though the rule is that if somebody comes out of prison on middle of Chol HaMoed, they can take a haircut. Right? So usually you'd think you can't take haircuts. Nonetheless, Yosef was in charge of the prison, he probably could take a haircut. Here's an interesting question. So if somebody's in a prison and he could have taken a haircut, but he didn't, do you think he'd be allowed to take a haircut at Chol HaMoed? I would say yes. Why? Because once the halacha is that a person can take a haircut if he comes out of prison, that's it. You can take a haircut. But the reason might not apply here. Whatever, this is the halacha. The halacha says such and such, that's what we follow. So getting back to our Ner Chanukah, it should be the same halacha b'Ner Chanukah. Because most likely there is a mezuzah in the door. The Ner Chanukah belongs on the left. Then Ner Chanukah should remain on the left even if there is no mezuzah. If the idea is you have to be mukaf, surrounded by mitzvahs, Ner Chanukah is on the right, the mezuzah is on the right, the menorah is on the left, fine. So then it should always be that even when you're not actually surrounded by mitzvahs. But very interestingly, Af al pikein, hadinu, the halacha is a main mezuzah bePesach. If there is no mezuzah on the door, then everything changes. Ner Chanukah, miyamin, then the menorah goes on the light. V'lo yoid, not only this, ela shadin ne'mar b'loshen stam. The rule is just given straight up without any kind of elaboration. Umashma, the gam im ze she'im mezuzah hu hepech. The gam im ze she'im mezuzah hu hepech shochan aruch. Mikol makim gam oz ner Chanukah hu miyamin. So even if a situation is not the way the Shulchan Aruch says, the Shulchan Aruch says you got to have mezuzah. He have a situation which is not like the halacha. There's no mezuzah. It's not ideal. Nonetheless, the Ner Chanukah would still go on the right side. In other words, you're almost accommodating the opposite of what's right. You're going to make an accommodation for what's wrong. So, but the point we have from this is that the mezuzah should be on the right, true enough. But if it's not there, the menorah belongs on the right. And for that we see that the menorah is not intrinsically disconnected from the right. Really, it also leans right. It's just that the mezuzah prevents it from being right, which leads us back to our original question. So why does the mezuzah have to prevent it? Just put the menorah on the right side as well. And that's why tamua b'yeser, that's why this is so strange. L'makavu l'chatchila ner Chanukah mismel. Why did the menorah end up specifically on the left side? All right, this question has been given significant treatment, and now we're ready for an answer. The Nekudas Habiyor, so here's the kernel of the Hasidic explanation. The Hinei, Kol HaTorah Mitzvaseh, the entire Torah, all of its instructions, all of its commandments, Nitnu were given, Kedei Levarer Ulzachech Olahales, Eseder Eshtal Shlos. God created a world, a big world, sometimes a bad world. A world in which there is not so much godliness evident. A world that conceals godliness. The word olam, which means world, is the same Hebrew verbiage that spells helam, which means concealment. So the world is a place that conceals divinity and godliness. And in this world, we have to seek out the sparks. We have to create what's called refinement. Just like the gold ore that doesn't exactly sparkle when it comes to the ground. Neither nickel nor silver. When you look at it, you see mud, silt, rocks. Ah, there's a crucible, there's a process, there's a mechanism through which the toxins can be burned away, and then the good stuff can be revealed. Then you can discover the gold. That's called refinement. Your gasoline, if you take it out of the ground and put it into your car, you'll put your car in the ground. Why? Full of sediment. What do you got to do? You got to burn it off. You have to get rid of it. You have to purify it. The purer the gasoline, the better it works, actually. And then less sediment. That's why they charge you more for pure gasoline. When they're charging you less for the other gasoline, it's because they're not charging you for the sediment. So you know what, here, we'll throw the sediment in for free, which actually kills the engine. So if they spend more time refining it, then it's gonna be finer gasoline. You'll have less sediment left in your engine, but you're also getting less, you have to fill more in your tank, and therefore it's gonna be more expensive from every perspective. But this is all about the concept of refinement. The more you refine, the better it gets, and eventually we're supposed to get rid of all the toxins and supposed to extrapolate all the sparks, and all that's what the mitzvahs are designed for. That's the meaning of l'saken elam malchus shendaldiyah. That's the idea that mitzvahs are made for us to be able to refine the world. Okay, so now that we understand this, and that's what ikar aveda. This is not just in the heavens, but adle elam hazatach, and this has to be done even in the lowest form of reality. Va'adarab, on the contrary, not even, but Iker HaVeda, the primary service of Hashem, Hibelum Haza Tachten Shelamata Vimeno, is specifically in this world. The real refinement is in a world that's full of chaff, that's full of dross, that's full of toxins, and that's where the real refinement is. That's where you got to really work hard to extrapolate the sparks. V'lochein kol ha-mitzvahs nitnu be'lum haza dafka. Where were mitzvahs given? Not in the heavens. Why not? Because in the heavens, everything's fine. The mitzvahs were given here where it's not fine, where refinement is necessary. Ki tachlisam, because the ultimate purpose is birur ha'olam atachten, the transformation of this lower world. This world that should be fully refined. U'bishvil zeh, and it's for this precise purpose. Yorda ha'neshama l'mata. That's why the neshama was sent down here. T'lefnei yiridasa, before the neshama came down, hini kol nishmasa v'nishmasa, ha'vekayma v'diyukno kamen malka kadisha. This is a Zoharic statement made in multiple places. Before it made its way down, every neshama existed in an exalted reality. before the gestalt, so to speak, of the Holy King. And despite the fact that Neshama was in this radiant, beautiful reality, the Neshama had to come down into this lower world. And what was the purpose? You say, well, to be close to God. That's ridiculous. The Neshama was even closer to God before it came down to this earth. Now it's further from God, not closer to God. Why did the Neshama go further in order to come closer? And the answer is, well, not really. It's not about you. It's about the world. It's kedei levad es ha'olam. It's in order to refine the world. Lasis mechumri es ha'olam gashmi is to take the materiality, the crass, the ordinary nature of the physical material world, and to transform that. Umigashmi is tashmishei kedusha, to take physicality, to turn it into objects which reflect the will of Hashem as they are utilized for the purpose of a mitzvah. As this is explained in great length in Ma'amar Chassidus, and is even brought down in the exoteric areas of Torah as well. V'zeo ma'asher kol haguf nichlal b'yamin. This is the meaning of the entire body is, so to speak, subsumed into the right. Meaning, the chol ha'mitzvah shayochas tebechinas yamin. All mitzvahs are connected to the right side. She'in yona, the right side is asiyas ha'chesed. That's the hand that you give tzedakah with. That's the hand you embrace with. It's not the hand you parry with. It's not the hand you push away. Sometimes you have to push away. But that's always with the weaker hand. Sometimes you have to discipline. That's the weaker hand. The mitzvahs are not about disciplining as much as they're about embracing. Of course, you can't embrace everything. That doesn't work. So that's why you have a left hand. But the primary thrust of the mitzvah, ultimately, is bringing things closer to Hashem. Not chas v'shalom distancing them. Even when you distance, it's in order to bring what's right close. So this is the idea of yamin mekareves. Like it says in the Gemara Masechta Seita, the right hand draws close. Lekarev, to draw closer. Levarer, to refine. Lezachach, to purify. In Yonei Ha'ilam, the material reality. Ulahaloisam, to elevate them from a reality in which they don't see and feel no God, to a reality in which they become reflective of God's presence. Omnam Ksiv, this is very nice. However, it is written, and this is in the story of Genesis, where God comes along to humanity and says, you should know, Asher Bora Elikim, God created a world, lasais to do. V'amr azal, and our sages say in the Bereshis Rabbah, and Rashi quotes us on the, right on the spot in the Pasuk, he says, what does it mean, lasais to do? We should make a world? God made a world? Now you make a world. Let's have a contest. Who can make a better world? No, chas v'shom, fiddlesticks. It's not about lasais that we should make a world, not that God made a world. Lasais means letaken. Perfect, make it refined. Literally translates as to fix, but really it's a mistranslation because it's by and large an Aramaic terminology. Letaken doesn't mean just to fix. It means like a person to perfect something, to make something beautiful. So when you take a recipe and you take ingredients, raw ingredients, and you turn them into a masterpiece, you turn flour and water into cake or bread, you didn't fix the flour per se, but you did. You engineered it. So letake means to engineer. It means to take something and elevate it, make it into something far better. So you get the raw material, and you turn it into something refined and beautiful. Even though the world in and of itself, it is written, God saw the whole world, and what did he see? That's a good world. Nonetheless, the person, through his efforts, we have a sacred duty responsibility to add to our world. It's translated as to fix, but again, it doesn't really mean to fix. It means to engineer. To engineer our world. God made a gorgeous world, a beautiful world, a magnificent world. Now make it better. Now bring the pieces together. Now refine everything. If you will, the content of a person's efforts, if you want to sum it up, is that the world should be a place in which it's obvious that there is a creator. That's what we're about. We're about revealing the presence of the creator. That we shouldn't live in a world in which we say there is no God. We should live in a world in which we say, look, there is a God. And every time we see something happen, we say, oh, Yad Hashem, look at that. Behind that is to say, the gamba makam hara, that even in a bad place, lemaspik shi asumrida, it's not enough that a person should avoid evil, turn away from that which is toxic and negative. Dechiyasara, elitzarach liyas, ultimately, what do we need to do from seeing a world which is negative? Where do we need to go? Elitzarach liyas va'ase toiv, that has to be an act of holiness and goodness, which is hafichas hara letoiv, We are the original transformers. Make bad into good. This, my dear friends, is the sinister side, the left side. Tikkun Sada Smil. This is engineering that which is seemingly dark. And that this it is written because of Miyaminoi. It says in the scripture, it's found at the end of Deuteronomy, on the right, Eish Das Lomoi, a fiery faith, a fiery law. Shekashem, she has betayda bechidis yimim v'chesed. Just like in the Torah, there is what we call kindness and benevolence. There is also kach yesh ga minyan eish dos. There is also a fiery law, which eish, fire, is gvura. That's discipline. Kav asmoil, that represents the left side. The inyan zen nimser dafkel avedas ha'adam. Whose job is it to take this fire and to, so to speak, nurture it, to harness it, to channel that fire in an appropriate way, lasseis l'takin, to engineer, to make things right? That's our job. L'chein avedezah yedei mitzvahs. That's what this avedah is, through mitzvahs. And mitzvahs which are, even midivri seferim. We have mitzvahs which are from the sages, which we know, k'noida shabim mitzvahs midivri seferim, that when it has mitzvahs that come from the rabbis and sages, says the Gemara in Sanhedrin, both in Yerushalmi and in the Bavli, that this is, there's a teikif and a chavivis, there's a great emphasis on such mitzvahs. And there is cherished such a mitzvah, even vis-a-vis the words of Torah. V'lachein, therefore, b'keicham, when it comes, there's the power of a rabbinic mitzvah, dafkil atakin inyan kavasmel, that we can actually fix or engineer the left, the darkness. The koyach is from the Torah. That's why it says, miyaminoi, from the right side, eish doslami. Where does the fiery law come from? It's rooted in the right. Because there's a Torah, that's where we can have the mitzvahs of our sages. So mitzvahs, the Rabbanon, the words of our sages, they come from the mitzvahs of Torah. The Torah says, loy seisef, you're not allowed to add any mitzvahs. In other words, but the Rabbanon's mitzvahs are not adding to the Torah. The Rabbanon's mitzvahs are with the legislation and power of the Torah. And now we can understand why the menorah is on the left. Because the menorah is not a biblical mitzvah. Rather, a rabbinic mitzvah. And the famous question in the Gemara is, why do we make a bracha shekhet dishonu b'mitzvah of tzivanu? God who commanded us, v'heichot tzivanu, where did he command us? And what the Gemara answers? The Gemara answers, he commanded us to listen to the sages. So the idea is that Ner Chanukah doesn't say it openly in the Torah. In so much so that Torah's MS asks, hey, where did this mitzvah come from? Where did it say? And the answer is, it does say. You have to look a little more deeply. There comes the answer, where it says it in the Torah. And now we see that adarabba, you reach a rabbinic mitzvah has hamayla, as a virtue. And because there's a virtue in the rabbinic mitzvah, that's why it ends up on the left. Why? Because ultimately it's about re-engineering things. It's about fixing things, perfecting things. So most of the mitzvahs deal with the right, and then there's the rabbinic mitzvah that has the power to travel past the right and go all the way to the left, to deal with the darkness head on. And this is the idea, the chiddush of Ner Chanukah over the Ner of the Menorah, which the Ner of the Menorah in the Beis HaMikdash was lit when it was still high afternoon, when it was still light outside. But Ner Chanukah is Bisha Tishka Chama, when it gets dark outside. Because this, my dear friends, is the whole essence of Chanukah, the power to illuminate the greatest darkness. And with this illuminating message, even though the Maimer continues and there's more still yet, we're out of time, way out of time. Good Shabbos. A Freilich Chanukah, a good Chedesh, and Kadosh Baruch Hu should help us that we should be able to see the way the darkness is transformed into the fully illuminated reality that will rise with the coming of Mashiach and the rekindling of the Menorah in the Beis Hamikdash. Memheira, ubi Amenu. Amen. Thanks for joining us this week. Good Shabbos.